Heart to Heart is being brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services. Here's Jackie LeBeau.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, don't let this dreary, rainy weather, you know, put you down because it's making all this beautiful green out there. I have to tell you, this is one of my favorite times of year. I call it baby leaves. I just love all these little small leaves coming out and that the color of the green is so vibrant. And I just love this time of year. So we're just going to look at all this wonderful water. It's just bringing forth more green, more flowers, more wonderful plants. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. I have with me a very special guest this morning, Willa Lefevre from Sonnewald Natural Foods. And you may all know from being in this local area, her parents, Harold and Grace Lefevre, established the store and began serving the community in 1955. So there's some real history here. And being a self-proclaimed truth seeker, Willa is the host of Sundays with Sonnewald. So many of you hear her right here on WHVR every week. It's a local radio show dedicated to consumer education. So Willa is very passionate about helping people in our communities get and stay healthy. And she devotes lots of time to numerous local health and sustainability initiatives. So we are very pleased to have her joining us this morning. And one of the things I in particular want to talk about is her dear mom who recently passed. And we're going to talk a lot about Grace and Walking with Grace, the weed walk that she is famous for, and all the good information that she has passed to so many people. So good morning, Willa.
Good morning, Jackie. This is a treat to be on this microphone.
I know. You're on the other side of the microphone for a change.
Well, I'm on a microphone, but
I know,
I'm
but
sitting
you're,
in your shoes.
I know. You're on the other side this time. Yeah.
So this is fun. Thank you. Thanks for inviting me. I'm just really blessed that you would invite me to your show.
Oh, I'm so glad that you could be here. So let's talk about dear Grace. I just love Grace. And you know, we're so saddened by her past, but what a life. What a just an amazing life that she led.
You know, it's interesting, you know, there's just been such an incredible outpouring of, you know, condolences and, you know, greetings and, you know, just the whole thing. And everybody's saying, oh, I just know I lost my mom and I just, you know, my mother, and I know how tough this is. And this is such a difficult time. And to be honest with you, it's really not that hard. It is a huge adjustment, okay?
Oh,
it's
sure.
a huge adjustment because she lived right with us, you mm-hmm. know, on the farm. Not in our home, but right on the farm. So we saw her frequently, and I could go to Mom, you know, just any time and just say, Mom, who was that? And who was it that said, you know, and I find myself thinking, oh, I'll ask Mom. And I go, oh, she's not here.
Yeah.
But Jackie, I really have thought about this. I thought, you know, is there something wrong with me? Or, you know, maybe I'm going to, you know, grieve later because right now mm-hmm. I'm very focused on helping to create a memorial.
Right, a celebration.
Celebration, yeah. A memorial day service. Not Memorial Day, a memorial service, which we are, yes, is very much a celebration. And I asked myself, I said, well, you know, am I just like suppressed? You know, am I repressing this or suppressing this? And you know, I really come to the conclusion that I'm just really not terribly sad. And this is how I look at it. When someone has run the race of life full tilt for 91 years, I just can't be too sad when they cross the finish line.
You can't be. I think that's an absolutely wonderful
and
attitude.
And she did. She lived life to the fullest, right up to the end. And, you know, as I'm gathering pictures and so on, preparing mm-hmm. for the service, I know her pretty well, you know.
Yeah.
She became my mom when I was 4. My birth mother died, actually, when I was a toddler, and Daddy remarried Mom. So, I mean, so she is my mom, of
right.
course. But it's like, I am blown away by what this woman accomplished.
Mm-hmm. In that lifetime.
It's just amazing. It's
and
just
even
amazing
though you knew a lot of it, now as you look back, there's things I'm sure you're finding that you didn't even really know.
I had no idea she wrote so much poetry. I knew that she wrote some poems, and I knew that she had sort of put some of them to music. Now, she didn't write music, but she mm-hmm. She had the tune in her head, and then she would sing it for someone, and someone else would, you know, put it down. I had no idea how much poetry she wrote. I had no idea how much of it was published. I had no idea. I mean, just, oh, just in every area.
I'm sure it's just coming out of the woodwork.
You know, she was interested in personal health, mm-hmm. absolutely, of course, and that evolved into to the store.
Right.
She was very, very spiritually rooted,
mm-hmm.
and was an active participating member of the Church of the Brethren her entire life. But she also was really comfortable with other types of kind of perhaps not quite so fundamental spirituality. And so she was involved with an organization for many, many years called Camps Farthest Out, and which didn't have any particular denominational
affiliation.
Connection.
Yeah. They were just more spiritual.
But it's just amazing. She was very involved in peace and justice and addressing, those in our world that are just being treated, so unfairly and so on. The variety of her interests, like for most of us, it's like, well, we might have one or two of those. Well, Mom had like all of them.
Right, right.
You know, the art, the music, the poetry, the health of the individual, the health of
the planet,
the health of the planet.
Yes. Yeah. I know. It's like,
She adopted when she inherited mm-hmm. my eccentric father, she ended up with three small children, which interestingly enough, Jackie, she adopted I'm 62 now. She adopted us when I was in my late 50s.
Oh, interesting.
She adopted all three of us.
To make it legally official.
Yes. We actually did it for some legal and financial reasons. But it was the judge in the chambers just said, this has got to be one of the most interesting cases that she ever had handled. Because here was Mom. She was then in her 80s,
uh-huh.
probably in her 80s, adopting three children, two who would have been in their 60s, and I would have been in my late 50s. But, it's interesting. Somebody asked me, actually, I guess our legal counsel
right.
said, how would you feel about your mom adopting you? I said, well... How would I feel? She adopted me when I was four.
Yeah, yeah. Been there, done that years and years ago.
Yeah.
So. But, those are things that sometimes just need to be done for other reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure for her, it still was something official about that still added something to it.
So
even for you guys.
Yeah.
But I love that she was just so full of passion that it just spilled out everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, we sort of miss that. That was a generation of very passionate people about many things in the world. And I don't know if we have that anymore. It's like a lot of the activists anymore are the older generation.
Well, you have to hang out with me because that's my circle. I mean, not that I have time.
But still, we are the older generation.
Well, I guess
it's
we
not
are.
So much. It's, I hate to say that about us.
But it's true. I mean, we grew up through the 60s,
yeah.
And that was a real
yeah. So we understand a difference mm-hmm. in that where, mm-hmm. A lot of young people take things for granted
mm-hmm.
or they take for granted that if it isn't that way, it can't be changed,
mm-hmm.
But I think we're of a different mindset that we understand
mm-hmm.
more how things can evolve.
Well, and the thing is, every single one of us can make such a difference in this world. And we, I think that was one of the things that I just so appreciate about both my parents is that just instilling in us to follow our hearts, to follow your passion, and move it into action.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually talking about her service, which is going to be, for those of you who may not have heard, the memorial service for Mom will be on Sunday, June the 8th. We will not be holding it at her church, which is the West York Church of the Church of the Brethren, because it just won't hold the crowd
right,
that we're
people.
Expecting. It's actually going to be held at Grace Fellowship in York, New Salem. But the details for Mom's service
mm-hmm.
Are on our website, sunnywall.org. So where was I going with that before I sidetracked myself? I'm so good at this, Jackie.
I know. I love that. But we were just talking about the passion. And, I was thinking about, too, all her things.
They encouraged us to follow our hearts.
Right.
You know what I mean? To pursue the things that interested us. Interestingly enough, both of my parents were college educated.
Mm-hmm. And
all of us are not.
Isn't
all of my siblings, I went to chiropractic school for a very short while, but I think, maybe one of my other brothers may have taken some night courses occasionally here and there, but it was really not emphasized. What was emphasized was to to get involved in the things that are interesting to you, that are important to you. And what I started to say is that as we're preparing mom's service, we were thinking about doing this, you know, this particular thing at the end. And then one of the ministers said, you know, but you know what Grace would really want? She would want us to take this service and inspire people to move into action. So why don't we put this at the end? And we all looked at each other and said, oh my God, that's so true. That's so true. And so we're creating the service as best we can to really be a reflection of how mom lived. We're not going to have any paper. We're not going to be handing out bulletins or, you know, memorabilia, mm-hmm. keepsakes, right. or any of that. Right. Because we don't know how many people will come. And you have to have plenty. So then a whole bunch of it just gets recycled the moment.
Right. And that's not her thing. Her thing was being gentle with Absolutely. The earth and the resources.
Yep. So that's, if she were here today, she would say, you know, of all the things that are out there, find what interests you and get involved in it. Get involved in your local community. Get involved, you know, get involved in, you know, your churches or, you know, just whatever. Get connected with other people who share your vision, who share your passion. Because, you know, as Helen Keller said, by ourselves we can do so little, but together we can do so much. And I look back and I just marvel at what she accomplished, not all by herself, although a lot of her artwork and so on, of course, was very, very, you know, individual
right,
activity.
But she understood the value of collaboration.
Absolutely.
You know, and yeah. more and more
and
people.
Teamwork.
Right.
Teamwork.
And, you know, that are, and I'm happy to see that that's a change that has been coming in our culture and in the world right now. Mm-hmm. We're falling away from that me and everything and understanding the value of collaboration and moving forward and, you know, what it plays in the success of ourselves as well as our teammates.
And the power that we have in numbers. You know,
yes.
I mean, I think, you know, if there's just, you know, like maybe several decades, it seems like people just kind of were stuck in helplessness or hopelessness or feeling powerless. And that's just so far from the truth. Because when we do team up and mm-hmm. when we do collaborate and when we respectfully share our different ideas, what comes out of that is so much greater and so much, there's just so much power in that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I'm grateful because, and I think to some degree, this is being motivated because there is so much darkness in the world and there are so many situations that really do trouble us and concern mm-hmm. us greatly. But I think, you know, out of that, we're being motivated. Some of us, hopefully, are taking that. I always say there's a divine function for anger, and that is it generates energy and it moves us into action. So I tell people, when you're listening to the news, you know, mm-hmm. the bad news portion,
yeah.
let your frustration and your anger and your distress and so on, let that move you into constructive action. Because there is no emotion that's bad. God did not create this and it was bad. Nowhere in the scriptures do we read that. So we know that everything God created is good, and he created us with all of these emotions. So the question is, what's the divine function?
Right, what's the purpose?
It's to move us into action.
Yeah. But, you know, and there is a lot of darkness out there, but there is so much light.
It's always a corresponding an equal amount, right?
Exactly. And I think I think the light forces are coming to the forefront now and we're moving forward. So I'm very encouraged to see that.
And you know what's helped us tremendously is the internet. We're now able to access other perspectives that are not being shared through mm-hmm. the mainstream media, or as somebody recently coined it, the lamestream media.
The lamestream media. I like that.
Which is a perspective, but it's not the whole picture.
And but you have to be cautious with the internet too, because
absolutely.
We really don't know who's putting that stuff out there.
It's just another perspective, and that's
right.
okay.
It's just another perspective.
Because we shouldn't be looking to anyone or any organization or any party or anything.
As the authority. Yes, absolutely.
We want to keep an open mind, hear all the different perspectives, and then prayerfully find our own place in the middle of that. And that's why I tell people all the time, I think it's so important to be a truth seeker. Find the truth for you.
Mm-hmm.
And don't let anybody convince you that their truth should apply.
Okay, well, we're going to take a short break now, and we'll be right back.
This portion of Heart to Heart is being brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services. We'll be back after the...
Okay, we're back this morning, and my guest is Willa LaFever from Sonnewald Natural Foods, and we've been talking about her lovely mother, Grace, and what we'd really like to get into now is one of her signature programs, the Weed Walk. So, Willa, tell us a little bit about how that started and what that was all about.
Well, you know what? We've been trying to figure out when Mom first started doing weed walks, and of course, we don't remember because it's just, once again, something that just kind of evolved very organically out of what she was learning and her enthusiasm for sharing this. Now, we have determined that she did weed walks for at least 45 years. And the reason we know that is people who are now in their 50s would come in and say, oh, I remember I went on a weed walk with your mom when I was in the third grade.
Oh.
In fact, I remember one gentleman saying, I still have the report that I did.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what I mean?
His school report.
Yeah. And people remember coming. You know, our parents said, well, you know what? I remember, you know, such and such a child was in my arms. And so we determined that at least right. for 45 years. And then, Jackie, several years ago, I said to Mom one day, I said, you know, Mom, we ought to have some sort of a discount for these dear folks who come back and go on a weed walk year after year after year because they really want to learn it. And it's not something you can just see once and remember
right.
at all. And I said, you know, we really ought to have a discount. And then we quickly said, yeah, but that would be a bookkeeping nightmare, you know, to keep track who has taken it twice, who's gone three mm-hmm. times. Someone at the store said, why don't we make a DVD? And I was like, duh. I'm just technically, you know, so behind the times. And we didn't even have computers at that point. But anyhow, what we ended up doing, and it took several years until God really made it clear, you know, who was to do it and when the timing was. And somebody else from the store actually said, and why don't we make a field guide to go with it? And I thought,
oh,
that's brilliant. Because the DVD, you can sit in the comfort of your home and watch.
But you can't look things up later.
But you can't take it with you. And it's when you're out in the field that you're saying to yourself or to your partner, oh, honey, is this the right thing? So anyhow, and we're so grateful. I mean, thank goodness God has the timing. Because just, what, a year and a half ago? I mean, just not terribly long before her passing, which was, you know, quite unexpected in many ways. You know, we were successful creating Walking with Grace. It's a DVD of her weed walk. Mm-hmm. The DVD is to inspire you to want to learn, know more. And then the field guide you take with you when you go out looking for plants and make sure that you're looking for the right thing.
I love the pictures and the descriptions because so many plants can look very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, some plants are toxins. So, you know, just like with mushrooms and everything else, you have to know what you're picking and how you're using it.
And what's one of the things that I think is so nice about this, these are plants that grow here.
Right.
You can buy, you know, East Coast, you know, guides to plant, you know, but you can spend half your life looking for something that doesn't even grow
right.
in this
region. Right, that only grows in Georgia.
So these are very plants that grow here that are either native to this plant, to this area, or that you will commonly find, or even some of these, she even has like some herbs and so on, but things that will do well here, either in the wild, you know, or in your garden. And what some people do is they actually go out and dig up some of the plants that we used to call weeds and move them into their garden because they value them and they want to have them convenient and
right because
to
now
harvest.
They understand the value of them, and just because they're not something that a seed company wants to make seeds out of and sell,
not yet. Who knows?
Yeah, it's true. But I love having the guide and so now that Grace is no longer here to share that knowledge, who in the community do you know of other people who do plant walks? Or
well,
weed walks?
I wanted to encourage our customers and you know, our community to continue to grow in this. So I sent out an email to just a bunch of people that I thought of and just said, hey, guys, do you know anybody who's doing a weed walk-like experience? And I tell you, something really, really special is coming up. Now, it is on Mother's Day, and I know that's probably a busy day. But how about this, folks? Think about taking your wife or your mother or your grandmother to Alloway Creek Gardens. They are right in Littlestown.
Mm-hmm.
And on Sunday, May the 11th, which is Mother's Day, from 1 to 2, they are doing, the owner, Barbara Steele, is doing an event. She's calling it Walk on the Wild Side.
I like that.
And what it is she is going to lead a weed walk, and it's being done in honor of Mom.
Oh, how sweet.
It's being done in honor of Mom. And there's no charge, but a goodwill offering will be taken. And she contacted me, because Mom doesn't use email, and said, what favorite charity or organization would Mom like to have supported? Well, interesting. It didn't take her long at all. I said, it's about plants. How about Trees of Life? So, folks, if you don't know about treesforlife.org, you can visit that and learn about an amazing tree called the Moringa tree. But all the donations at this event on Sunday, May the 11th, will go to Trees of Life for the great work that they're doing all over the world.
I have to tell you, Moringa tree sounds Australian or something to me. Well, what is that made of?
I don't know too much about it, but I know that it's both, I think it's a fast-growing tree that has great nutritional benefits and medicinal benefits.
Oh, interesting.
And it's being planted in areas where people are in need of both.
Okay.
So anyhow, that is, that's kind of close by in Littlestown.
Yes, in Littlestown.
Now, there are a couple of others.
Event.
Horn Farm. Now, this is in the Hellam area.
Horn Farm. Okay.
Between Hellam and Wrightsville.
East York area.
Mm-hmm. Right off Route 30. They are doing foraging classes, and they actually hold one a month from March through December. That'd be interesting. I wonder what they're going to find in December. But
But that would be interesting, just the different things, different seasons.
And also, every person's perspective. If I had time, I'd like to go experience all of these just to see how someone else is doing it and to glean, to glean from it. But that's Horn Farm Center. You can find them, I think it's hornfarmcenter.org. And then up in Mechanicsburg, there is a very long-standing herb business, the Rosemary House.
Oh, I've heard of that.
And they are having, and that one is May the 31st, and they are holding something about foraging seasonal backyard wild foods and how to prepare them into gourmet dishes. Now, that one has a charge of $25, but you can contact the Rosemary House up in Mechanicsburg to experience that. And you can certainly get the DVD at Sunnywell Natural Foods. You can do that anytime at your convenience. What I say is, while we're heading right into the season, try to experience one or more of these local events and support these things. I mean, this is great stuff that's happening in our community. And just an FYI, we now do have the field guide for sale separately. I'm sorry, I don't know the price. I think it's under $5. It's like $4.95 or something. It's very affordable. You know, in case you want to keep your DVD at home and safe in your bookcase or whatever, you know, maybe you want to put a field guide in your glove compartment of your car or throw it in your backpack if you're going to be out.
Well, the field guide is just, besides the great pictures of the plants to help you identify them, it's filled with recipes for drinks, and it's filled with, you know, a list of plants of interest. But I love all the drinks and the spreads and how to use some of these great plants that we're finding, tonics, you know, and it's just wonderful how to prepare them. I don't know if we'll have time for that, but there's different ways to use the plant, whether it's an infusion or a tincture and all those things.
Poultices for topical use and so on.
So if we get a little chance, we'll talk a little bit about some of those things. But I wanted to pick out some of my favorite wild plants.
Okay.
And some of these that I definitely picked up from Grace with different issues that we had, we'd be in the store. And I have to tell you this one about comfrey. I was looking for something, and she says to me, just standing in the store that day, "Well, you need comfrey." And I'm like, "Well, I don't have any of that. Where do I get that?" She says, "Oh, come on down with me." And so she just went right out the door with me, took me down to the house. She walks in, she comes out with this shovel, and she starts shoveling. And I'm looking at her, I'm like, "Grace," I'm like, "at least let me do the shoveling." I mean, she was just like totally powerhouse, and dug some of that comfrey right out for me. And, you know, I've been using it, but I wanted to tell people because that is such a healing plant. And particularly, I know she also called it nip bone. Like, so good for bones. So,
absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about the comfrey.
Well, it's interesting that you would choose that because if I were Mom, of course, all plants were special to Mom. But, you know, if I had to pick a few special ones, comfrey tops the list. I often say Mom felt that comfrey would if there was any plant that would solve all the problems of the world, it would be comfrey. In fact, and I'm not going to tell you the story that I'm going to share at her memorial service, but you know, some of the family members are going to share a bit, and I am going to tell a story about Mom and comfrey.
Okay.
Our mom and comfrey. But
she would say, if we get stuck on an island somewhere, take comfrey.
Well, what happened is she learned about comfrey, and and it's so wonderful for, like I said, broken bones and bruises and strains and so all of that. You can use it internally. You can soak. If you have a sprained ankle that wouldn't be in a cast or something, mm-hmm. you can literally, I tell people, make a good strong tea, you know, even put it like in an oval trash can or something that you can get your foot, submerge the injured area.
Or submerge like bandages and wrap it around the area?
Yeah, you can do, that's what's called a fomentation, when you would take a piece of fabric, you know, cotton mm-hmm. muslin right. or something, and saturate it with a real good strong tea and then wrap it around. And it's wonderful for burns. I remember being on a motorcycle, just getting on or off a motorcycle one time when I was a youngster, and thank God I touched the tailpipe with my leg. Gosh. And there was a comfrey plant with probably within 10 feet. I knew enough to jump off, go over there, grab a leaf, chew it up real quick, until it's all like slimy, and throw it on there. Never blistered, never anything.
Oh my goodness.
But anyhow, yes, Mom has instilled in all of us who knew her. And as you said, then when Steve Moore was the resident farmer who lived at Sunnywold for about 6 years, and he planted comfrey. I didn't know why he did this. I was very focused in the store at that point. Mm-hmm. He was very focused on the farm. But he planted comfrey all around the gardens. And I thought, like, what's the story here? Because comfrey, you have to be careful. It will tend to kind of spread on its own. Well, here what it does is it prevents the grass part of the lawn from encroaching into the garden area.
Oh, so it's like a root boundary.
So it, yeah. and because we always had so much of it, Mom was always so willing to share it. In fact, for many, many, many years, at the end of every weed walk, everybody who wanted a comfrey start, a chunk of a uh-huh. root, and so on. And it's already up. It's probably up about 6 inches.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's also great. Chickens love it. It's great to feed to chickens and goats and animals like, you know, ducks and things like that. It's also great for feeding your compost pile. So even when you have all these plants and you want to dry some for the winter, mm-hmm. you know, and of course use some of it fresh. But you can also cut it and throw it in your compost pile, and it's really a great source of nourishment to help to rebuild the soil.
Right.
So, yeah, comfrey will almost cure the ills of the world. that's pretty much how Mom has, she's just really instilled in all of us a tremendous confidence in comfrey.
And then my other favorite plant, because I always remember this, because my grandmother used to just go out in the yard, and she would always cut this every spring, and we always had dandelion.
Amen. I'm eating dandelion. You know what's interesting? You know, Mom's only been gone now since the 25th of March, but even in these few short weeks, I realize how I am just sort of automatically adopting things that she used to do. Like, Mom would pick dandelion, mm-hmm. and then she'd bring Bill and I some. Like, she would often prepare it with a sweet and sour egg dressing.
That's how
she did. You know, she was a vegetarian for many years, so she wouldn't add the bacon.
I do the bacon. It's got to have bacon fat.
And that's fine, as long as you're getting it from a good, sustainable, farm. And so on. But anyhow, she would always bring up some for Bill and I. But yes, every spring. And I tell people, you know, let's take our lead from nature. If nature produces this plethora of dandelion this time of year, instead of, you know, trying to get rid of it with toxic chemicals, why don't we say, Father, why is all this dandelion here? And I think because now more than ever in probably the history of the planet, we need the detoxification benefits. It's a wonderful natural detoxifier of the liver. And so and remember, our ancestors couldn't go to the supermarket and get fresh greens. So they did a lot of root crops, which way they could store. And of course, right. they had their canned goods and so on. But by this time of year, their bodies were in need of that fresh green. And also remember, your green leafy things are are very, very alkaline. And so that really helps to establish a more balanced pH after the heavier foods of the winter, right, and the less activity of the winter and mm-hmm. the less sun of the winter and so mm-hmm. on. So, you know, you want to just make sure you're harvesting your dandelion where it hasn't been sprayed.
Yes.
But get out there, and Mom would tell you, eat 9 of the stems that support the flower. Okay, you can eat the flowers too. Oh, and that was another thing. Mom used to take all the edible flowers and put them and decorate her salads, and they became that her art was just, she just infused her love of art and color in everything mm-hmm. she did. But she always would say on the weed walk, pick 9 dandelion flowers with the stems. The stems, 9 stems a day, something to do with preventing diabetes or something. But, you know, here again, you have to do your own research and see.
Right, so she's got a, but yeah, she had a phrase, 9 stems a day probably keeps the doctor away.
Who knows? But, yeah, and she would use the whole plant. The roots, you know, roasted dandelion is a wonderful coffee substitute. We have mm-hmm. one at the store that sells extremely well, Dandy Blend, and Mom was always a great marketer of that. But, yeah, the leaves are great. The stems are good. The flowers are edible.
I did not know that in all these years.
She would take rose petals and dandelion flowers and violets. I mean, there's violets popping up throughout our yard. Maybe they were always there, but this year, because Mom's not here, I'm seeing things through her eyes. It's really amazing. Just these last few weeks, it's kind of like, yeah, it's kind of real, it's like real special.
Yeah. Well, she's still there.
Amen. Amen. I'm talking to her.
Yeah, she's still there. She's just saying, look here. Oh my goodness. All right, so dandelion. Now, what's another one, Grace?
I'll tell you, my name's Willa.
Willa.
Oh. Not a problem.
I'll tell you,
this time of year, chickweed. One of the early ones that comes out, with the dandelion is chickweed. And that one once again, you'll need a field guide, to look at it, to identify it. But it's very mild, and it's very plentiful in these cool, damp, this time of the year. Then it will just get too hot, and then in the fall, you can find it again. But chickweed is so mild, you can use it instead of lettuce in sandwiches and in salads. It's real, a lot of the wild things are kind of bitter. And interestingly enough, if we had a time or you could interview an Ayurvedic practitioner, they would talk about how important the bitters are.
Right.
And that's one of the tastes that tends to be lacking in the American diet. So please look into chickweed. And then I tell you, I just have really a favorite called cleavers. And that's the one that it's like Velcro. It sticks to itself. So learn about cleavers because they're not out yet, but they'll be coming soon. And if you think that man created Velcro, you're wrong. God did. And you'll experience it beautifully in a plant called cleavers.
Okay. And you know what? I just thought of another one I want to bring up, because when you were out at our gardens, we talked about it, because I remember telling you, because you were barefoot, I said,
always.
Remember, there's a lot of poison ivy in the woods, mm-hmm. and you told me that the poison ivy is there to keep, mm-hmm. how did you say that, to keep the people who don't belong there out?
Yeah, I was just walking meditation, which is something that I do, and I got a real strong impression, because I know that everything that God created is good. The scriptures mm-hmm. clearly tell us that. So it's like, okay, well, what's this good for? What's that good for? And I got this real clear sense, an inner kind of knowing, that God created poison ivy because it grows at the edge of the woods to keep people who didn't have a good reason for being there out. It's sort of like they're the guardians of the woods and the forest. Yeah.
And then the other thing you told me was that wherever there's something there that has the possibility of having a bad reaction, that there's also the plant that grows right there as well. The remedy, and that would be the jewelweed.
Jewelweed typically grows. Jewelweed needs a little bit more moisture and so on. But yes, jewelweed is a wonderful remedy for poison ivy. But also, folks, please look into using the homeopathic remedy Roustox. This can actually be used to help to build up an immunity to poison ivy. Usually we encourage people to look into this and to consider doing it February and March. Now we're pushing the end of April. It may be a little bit late, but Roustox formulated with several other ingredients, is great for treating it once you already have the symptoms. But Roostox by itself can be taken in advance of the season to help to build,
build up
an immunity.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, Willa, we could talk forever about plants.
Oh, good. Now I get to come back someday?
Yes, I think so. Look, I have this entire field guide we have to go through. So, but I want to thank you again for taking the time. I know it's so busy. And giving us some information, and particularly telling people where they can find these natural plant walks coming up now that Grace is not here to do the weed walk. But we have so much to talk about, so we'll have to do this again.
And we have big shoes to fill, so we'll all work together to fill them.
All right. All right.
Amen. Thanks so much for having me. I've really had a lot of fun, Jackie.
All right. Thanks, Willa. We'll be right back, everyone.
This portion of Heart to Heart is being brought to you by Zunic Advisory Services.
Here's something everyone needs to...
Okay, we're back, everybody, and I'll encourage you, if you want, get a copy of Walking with Grace, the Weed Walk DVD, and you can find that at Sonnewald Natural Foods and also the field guide, because you'll be using that all the time when you're going looking at different plants in your yard and plants in the woods, and figure out how you can use some of these valuable plants for their nutritional and their medicinal purposes. So also, next week, I want to tell you, we're going to go back to the animal side of things. And this will be fun. Marta Corsi, who's the founder of My Canine Buddy, Creating Bonds That Last a Lifetime, who's a dog trainer extraordinaire. She's going to be coming on the show with me next week. She's she runs a family-oriented training center for canines located in Westminster, Maryland. And her whole goal is to transform your diamond in the rough puppy into your best buddy. And she teaches everything from puppy manners to canine good citizen training and beyond. And Marta can do classes in your home. She does private training, and she also has classes there. So it's good social interaction for your dogs as well. And I have to tell you, this agility stuff is so much fun. I love watching it. And she's helped me a lot with my one Newfoundland, who just needed a little structure in her life. So anyway, I'm looking forward to having her come next week, and we'll be back to the animal side of things. So as always, I encourage everybody, if you are looking for information about readings and you want to connect with some loved ones on the other side, please give my office a call at 717-968-5289 or check out my website at jackielebeau.com. That's JACQUILEBEAU.com. And I have offices in Hanover and York. So let me know if I can be of help to you at any time, and give me a call. So we'll look forward to seeing you next week on Heart to Heart.
Brought to you by Zunic Advisory Services. News is coming up. ABC News on the top of the hour.